business, everything. The cart has already taken the heavy luggage to the station. All you'll have to do is to see after your bags.
That's all right. Show Monsieur Dubry and his brother in, said Germaine.
She moved to a chair near the window and disposed herself in an attitude of studied and obviously studied grace. As she leant her head at a charming angle back against the tall back of the chair, her eyes fell on the window, and they opened wide.
"Why, whatever's this?"
she cried, pointing to it.
"Whatever's what?" said Sonia, without raising her eyes from the envelope she was addressing.
"Why, the window! Look! One of the panes has been taken out. It looks as if it had been cut."
"So it has, just at the level of the fastening," said Sonia. And the two girls stared at the gap.
"Haven't you noticed it before?" said Germaine.
"No, the broken glass must have fallen outside," said Sonia.
The noise of the opening of the door drew their attention from the window. Two figures were advancing towards them, a short, round, tubby man of 55, red-faced, bald, with bright gray eyes, which seemed to be continually dancing away from meeting the eyes of any other human being. Behind him came a slim young man, dark and grave. For all the difference in their coloring, it was clear that they were father and son. Their eyes were set so close together. The son seemed to have inherited, along with her black eyes, his mother's nose, thin and aquiline. The nose of the father started thin from the brow, but ended in a scarlet bulb, eloquent of an exhaustive acquaintance with the vintages of the world. Germaine rose, looking at them with an air of some surprise and uncertainty. These were not her friends, the Dubuis. The elder man, advancing with a smiling bonhomie, bowed, and said in an adenoid voice, ingratiating of tone,
"Ah, Monsieur Charolais, young ladies. Monsieur Charolais, retired brewer, chevalier of the Legion of Honor, landowner de Rennes. Let me introduce my son."
The young man bowed awkwardly.
"We came from Rennes this morning, and we lunched at Keller's farm."
"Shall I order tea for them?" whispered Sonia.
"Gracious, no!" said Germaine sharply under her breath. Then louder she said to Monsieur Charolais,
"And what is your object in calling?"
"We ask to see your father," said Monsieur Charolais, smiling with broad amiability, while his eyes danced across her face, avoiding any meeting with hers. "The footman told me that Monsieur Gournay-Martin was out, but that his daughter was at home, and we were unable, quite unable, to deny ourselves the pleasure of meeting you."
With that, he sat down.